Hello and welcome to Web Hack Wednesday. I'm Martin Beebe.
And I'm Martin Kern.
And today we're going to be talking about tools for Apache Cordova inside of Visual Studio.
Yeah.
And we're going to be building a mobile application using Apache Cordova.
It's an area that I've never really dabbled with, so I'm going to learn a lot in this one, I think.
You think?
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I mean, my expectations are higher than they are normally for these things. So
the Apache Cordova, have you heard about that before?
I've heard about it, yeah.
So it's a way of using web technologies to build cross-platform mobile applications.
Cool.
We go into there's a thing underneath JavaScript called Apache Cordova Apps.
So this is Visual Studio 2015, and I've got everything installed.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is something that you get as part of default or where you have to tick a tick box.
Yeah, you have to tick a tick box on installation.
Right.
And it installs exotic things.
Oh.
So we install iTunes.
Right.
We install Chrome.
Nice.
It obviously installs the Cordova CLI and things, all the things that it needs to build the applications. But it's lots of stuff which is odd for us to be installing.
Yeah.
And it's purely because to create the workflow that we need to be able to deploy and debug cross-platform on lots of different devices, we need Chrome
all
because
that's
where the Ripple emulator runs in. You need iTunes because that's the way you deploy to Apple devices.
This is the way things work these days, isn't it?
Yeah, so if you haven't got the tools installed, you'll come into these Apache Cordova apps in JavaScript and it'll say install Apache Cordova.
Right.
So it would have a little way of installing it.
And this is even in Community Edition of Visual Studio as well, the free
version. Yeah, in fact, there's no difference when it comes to Apache Cordova tools between the community or free edition of Visual Studio and like the enterprise. You don't get anything more in enterprise as far as I'm aware. So blank Cordova application 2 inside of your, I'm working on Martin's machine today for reasons we won't go into. And then we'll click on blank app Apache Cordova and we'll press on OK. And it will create me this blank Apache Cordova application. The thing you should know is that it feels a lot like, to me at least, a website.
Right.
It looks an awful lot like a kind of a web structure.
Yeah.
You have a www root.
Okay.
Where all your CSS images and scripts and in an indexed HTML is stored. The way it works is it's basically it's HTML and JavaScript. We start at the index.html page, and this is my application. So in this instance, on this particular your file new, we have a div which has got a class called app, got a p tag with device ready. And if we start this application, there's lots of different ways that you could run this application. The most common way is to use the Ripple emulator.
Okay.
Again, Ripple isn't something that we've invented. Ripple is something which is around, and this is what most Apache Cordova developers would use. So what you'll notice, this threw me, really annoyingly threw me, because I assumed this Apache Cordova device ready thing was a part of the emulator. That is the default app, is the part of the application. So when I was like, oh, God, this emulator's not working, it's not loading up the actual app that I've just...
That is the app.
It's quite confusing.
That's throwing me as well.
Yeah, but so that is the actual application which is running.
Right.
So that is, we can say now our Apache Cordova, the base application is working. But obviously, this is just HTML. So I could just say,
oop. Little Visual Studio feature there.
I can just say, hello, and run that again in the emulator. It will rebuild that thing, and then so it's just HTML and JavaScript. I think. Let's have a look. Visual Studio allows me to do stuff like editing that HTML. Hi. Let's make it less informal.
Yeah.
Less formal. And if I go back to my emulator, you'll see it's changed there as well.
So that's kind of like, you haven't had to refresh your browser or anything like that. It's just in it straight away. Pretty cool.
Ultimately, we're interacting with just HTML and JavaScript content there in that instance. Now, this Ripple emulator is quite useful in that you can change the kind of devices and the orientation. So at the moment, I'm using a Nexus Gallery, but you can use lots of different devices from here.
Okay.
You can change the orientation of the device to see how your UI looks. You've got things like an accelerometer. So if I just take that up, we can change, if we had accelerometer events or stuff which was happening, we can add a shake event, so someone shaking the device.
Nice.
And we might have, we don't in this application, but we might have stuff tied to that.
Yeah.
We can simulate the battery status, so the level of the battery, whether or not the device is plugged in. So you can test a lot of things in this emulator.
That's pretty cool. And presumably these are there because Cordova has the APIs to link into all this.
Yeah, so this is the important thing. This is what Apache Cordova's the reason why people use Apache Cordova rather than just using, you know, HTML and JavaScript file is there's lots of stuff that you can't do in JavaScript that you might want to do in mobile applications.
Like detect whether your phone's plugged in or not.
Or react to that. Or obviously the native platforms have APIs which could give you stuff about battery level.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in JavaScript. No. There's no web API which allows you to determine battery level on a computer.
Yeah.
So what Cordova have got is they have plugins which allow you to get access to device features.
Cool.
So in this example, which the application I've built, I'm going to use a camera.
Right.
Cordova APIs, there's some core plugins.
Yeah.
So everything in Cordova is done through plugins.
Right.
There's some core plugins which are built by the Cordova team.
Are they Cordova plugins?
Yeah, exactly. So Cordova plugins. And then...
Cordova.
Oh,
see, it was a joke.
Right. I tend to like jokes. You have to explain.
Yeah.
So, Cordova plugins, which have been written by Cordova.
Yeah.
And then there are other plugins, which there's quite a lot of them out there in the community, which you can go get and add it in. And these plugins basically are like a bridge between the web world and the native world.
Cool.
And what they are is language projections, in that I'll always write to these plugins in JavaScript.
Yeah.
So I'll add a plugin, and then it'll lighten up a plugin API for me, which I can call via JavaScript.
Yeah.
And what happens is when I call it in JavaScript, it then sort of proxies. Somehow it gets proxied to the actual native API.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So Cordova gives you the full, not only using web technologies to do all your layouts, but also you've got full access to all of the API sort of stack of the device.
Yeah.
If you find out that maybe you want to use an API that there's not a plugin for, you could write your own plugin. Right.
And are they pretty kind of, so Windows 10 UWP is relatively new still. Is it quite up to date with that kind of
stuff? So we have support for the universal platform.
We do. Okay,
cool. And actually, a lot of the code for that has been contributed by Microsoft.
Right.
So lots of the core plugins, for example, there are teams in Microsoft who go to those core plugins and make sure they work well on Windows.
Yeah.
I came to this and started messing around with Cordova, and it's been about a year since I built my last Cordova thing, and the tools have come on quite a way.
Okay.
But the choice that you're always making is like, well, what's my UI going to look like?
Yeah.
And Cordova hasn't really got many... The vanilla version of Cordova doesn't have any opinions on the UI layout and so forth that you have. So you're probably going to have to choose a framework.
Yeah.
Could write it all yourself, of course.
Yeah.
And the one that I came up with when I was looking at this a couple of months ago was Ionic.
Right.
And I discovered the Visual Studio team, or one of the teams at Microsoft, have created these Ionic project templates for Visual Studio.
Right.
I have not chosen Ionic because I know it's the best, or because I've not really done any great deal of evaluation, actually.
It's the first one that came up.
It's the first one which came up. No, I actually used a couple, but then it was the first one which made real sense.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of Angular development, and Ionic and Angular fit well together.
Cool.
So it made sense that I was using this one.
Yeah.
And I think the last time I demoed this, I was writing this application like 3 or 4 days in advance of the event.
Right.
So I wanted something which I could get to grips with quickly. So Ionic seemed to be something which was quite straightforward. I have an application I prepared earlier.
Have you?
The repository is called How Happy Cordova.
Right.
I've used that Ionic template on my machine.
Yeah.
And it's installed all the stuff that I need for my Cordova application, but also added some stuff for Ionic templates as well. And if I go to my index.html, so I've got an Ionic navbar,
okay,
and an Ionic view,
right.
If you're familiar with Angular, some of this stuff will make sense to you. If you're not, I'm not going to go into it too much to explain all about how Angular works and so forth. So if we go into app.js, the way that Ionic integrates with Angular is that you have states in your application.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a number of different states in this application. I've got the dash, which is like the dashboard of my application. I've got a results view, a results details view, and a tab for accounts.
Okay.
So these are tabs which are controlled by the navigation system.
Yeah.
And if nothing is selected, like, so the default is going to go to tab dash.
Okay.
So this is a state that has a URL called /dash, and then it's got a template URL for the HTML it's going to use, and then a controller it's going to use to get the data for that URL. So as I change the tabs that I'm viewing in the application, it's going to fire up these controllers and get the new information.
Okay.
So if you look inside of my templates folder, I have, it says templates, it's using template dash, or tab, template tab dash. So this is the default view in my application. So it's just some HTML. You can either take a picture or load a picture from your device to determine the happiness of those in a picture.
Nice.
So I'm using this happiness API, the emotions API from Microsoft Cognitive Services.
Okay, cool.
I'm calling into that and I'm determining the happiness of the people in those pictures.
Good.
So I've got a button which says a button, take a picture. And then I've got another button here which is select a picture.
Okay.
And I'm tying that up. Now, I showed before that in the app it said, what did it say, that the controller for this was dash control. So if I go to my controllers and I look for dash control, here's the controller. And I open that up.
Okay.
I've bound the buttons, the take a picture button and the select a picture button, to these functions.
Right.
So what take a picture is going to do is it's going to go call navigator.camera.getPicture. Now, you'll know if you're a JavaScript developer and not done Cordova before, navigator.camera isn't a thing.
No, I didn't. The first thing I thought when I saw that is that's not a thing.
Yeah, but it is a thing
in
Cordova when we've added or included a plugin. So
that will map to whatever the native API is on the operating system, the apps.
Yeah, so and that's achieved through plugins.
Cool.
So you'll see here I've added this camera plugin.
Okay.
Now if I were to remove that camera plugin, and then execute this code, it would say, I don't know what that
is. What on earth have you done with camera plugin?
It would go, navigator.camera doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But just by adding the camera, then that API comes alive. And then it's something that I can use.
So there's a bit of a trick in terms of knowing, as there is with most of this stuff, knowing what's included by default with the framework and what's the plugin that you have to go and find. And presumably there's a website and like a gallery where you can go and find these plugins.
Well, the core ones, the core Cordova plugins, they are listed in this config. You can see I've got a camera plugin, a capture plugin, console, contacts. You can also add your custom ones, ones that you've created locally, or what a lot of people tend to do is they'll find the Git repo for the plugin, and then you just literally point it to that Git repo, and it will, when it builds, go to Git, get the latest version, pull it in, and compile it. And then I've currently got these ones installed on my device. So my camera, it knows how to deal with files, and it knows how to deal with cameras. So this JavaScript I'm running, let's go back to the controller. This is the thing. So I'm saying navigator.camera.getPicture, on success, do an on success thing, and on fail do the on fail. I've got an on success function, I've got an on fail function, and I'm also passing some information. I want 50% quality, because actually the API which I'm calling doesn't really want a very, very big picture.
Yeah.
It wants so I've decided that I'll just reduce the quality and let the camera deal with that. And then I want the picture source to come from the camera, because this is called take a picture, and I want the output to be a data URL.
Right.
And then select picture is the exact same function, but I've just changed it. Instead of the picture source being camera, I've changed it to saved photos.
Okay.
So if you choose take a picture, it'll go to the device's camera. Right. And if you choose take a saved picture, select a picture, it'll go to the device's photo library.
Makes sense, okay.
And that's the cool thing, is I'm one API, but this will work completely differently on Android, iOS, and Windows, because they all have different mechanisms for dealing with those things, but they will just work. It's very cool. I find you can use Ripple to debug this. I find one of the easiest ways of doing this on a Windows machine, at least, is to using Windows x86 and running a universal application. So just run that up. Hopefully this time it will.
See if you can get that same facial expression where, like, you might appear to be happy, but there's more going on. Interesting.
Okay, I've got and it's looked at that face, and it's got a happiness level of 0.55, anger 0, contempt disgust, fear, neutral, sadness, and surprise.
So it's like half neutral, half.
I think my acting ability is quite good there. Yeah. I've seemed to have displayed an array of emotions through my face.
Yeah, it's really good.
What I'd like just to sort of point out is, as I'm cycling through these tabs at the bottom here, it's calling different controllers. It's, you know, doing all of that stuff, but it's doing it in a really nice. With a really nice UI.
It feels very native.
And when I'm clicking, I mean, if there was more than one face in this pit, if there was more than one face, as if there's not two people here. Hold on, let's do this. let's try.
What's the cool name for a group selfie? Is it a gelfie?
No, isn't a selfie. Oh, right, because a selfie is.
We're doing a group selfie.
Right.
I don't know what I look like.
So hopefully with two people, it should. Only find me.
You didn't think that my face is too ridiculous.
Oh, here we go. There's a caching issue there, clearly. But it's got your face now as well.
So that's I'm quite surprised. 64% surprise. Excellent.
But you see, like, the animation between the details page and the view page is really nice. It's really it feels very like it's been developed for a mobile thing. Yeah. The like stuff like this is an iOS obviously button which I'm using here. You could make it more Windowsy if you wanted to, but by default Ionic is very iOSy.
So that's down to the UI framework that you choose.
Exactly. Some of them are going to be better for certain for certain devices. Yeah. I think this looks really nice though, so I'm happy with it. So I've got this accounts page which allows me to store the images in the cloud. I've got this results tab. I can drill into it. The animations all work. It looks pretty nice.
Apart from the photo itself.
I was taking a picture. If I do a select a picture, I'm on Windows.
That's on my terms. Just use that. It's fine.
Oh, this is your machine, right?
Yeah. It's fine.
I don't know who that guy is.
There's a guy called Andy Day. He'll enjoy being featured. And it's a funny photo as well. And I'd like to know what emotion he's conveying as well there. He's just happy. He's a happy guy.
Happiness.
He's a really happy guy, Andy Day. Well done, Andy.
So, that was really freaky when I was like, well, I've got a picture of a man I don't know on my machine, and I realised I'm using your machine. So that's that application running on Windows. Of course, though, this will run on lots of other devices as well. You might want to deploy it, say, for example, to a Windows phone.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Windows phone, and I'm going to deploy it to the device. I actually have a device here.
Okay.
So hopefully if I just unlock this. Bah, bah, bah. And then if I click on.
Oh, let me flip back to that. So
if I click on this one here.
Device, okay.
Device. It will build. And then hopefully.
And we're going to use some really high-tech way of showing the viewers.
By doing this.
Just do that, yeah. Excellent.
So it's still deploying.
You're going to have to hold it in that position now for.
It's still hold on, but just want to maybe check like my phone's not like showing.
Yeah, is your phone safe for work at this point in time?
Yeah, I think it's, there we go, and you see it's just deployed.
Yeah,
and then the application, same application, and here we go. You will see that you've got the tabs. You can't see this actually on the picture.
I can't say this still.
It's not really obvious, but you'll have to trust me that it looks pretty nice in terms of the way it's showing on the picture. If I go and take a picture. It goes to the camera mode for my phone. I'm going to take a picture of Martin. Click. And then it should, if I had any Wi-Fi connections, it will take that picture of Martin and then eventually it will show me a.
How happy I am.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Very happy, Martin.
Very happy.
Yeah.
Good.
So. Now, I've deployed it to two Windows devices there. You can deploy it to an Android emulator. We have an Android emulator which comes pre-built in. You could plug in an Android device and deploy it to that.
Right. Yeah.
You can deploy it to a Mac.
Okay.
So if you have a Mac on your network, you can hook up your Mac to so that you can deploy. It will go through to the Mac on to and then deploy it using like Xcode. And you're basically. The way I work with that scenario is I have a Mac on the network with an IP. I deploy to the Mac, so I just change my setting in the debug menu to iOS.
Okay.
I can obviously test it in Ripple, but you can actually do a remote device.
So Ripple has an iOS mode as well.
Yes, it supports iOS as well. And the Ripple stuff is emulation. It's not actually exactly how it's going
to work. If you want to just get a quick feel.
But if you want to test it on the actual device, then you can use a remote device on your local network.
Nice.
It deploys over the network. But also the cool thing about it is all of your breakpoints, when you're remoting over the network to a Mac, deploying it to Xcode onto an emulator, debugging still works. So you can put breakpoints in there, step through your code.
It's like some kind of
magic, you do magic, right, yeah. It also says that you can do a local device. I believe this is why they install iTunes. So you still have to have a Mac to do the compilation of the application, but then it can you can plug the iPhone actually into your Windows device. I've not actually done that, mind you, to be honest with you.
Sounds complicated, that one.
Well, but it's possible. Yeah. I mean, it's possible with stuff you have to look into. I have done the remote device to my Mac and tested it onto inside of Xcode. And basically, you have a little agent which sits on the Mac, which is listening for commands. This communicates over the network of an IP, sends a command to do the build, copies the files over, does the build on the Mac because it has to compile the actual application on Mac using whatever build tool chain they have, and then it produces a binary, loads it into the emulator, then you can test it on the Mac. It's pretty sweet. Like, the workflow is pretty good.
Yeah,
so that one application will work cross-platform, Android, iOS, Windows, all pretty simple to create and build.
All web technologies.
All using JavaScript, HTML.
I'm excited. I might start using it. It's been on my to-do list for well over a year.
Contribute to my little repo.
I'm going to do Hello World first.
Okay. Do Hello World.
And then I'll break your repo.
It's a good, if you want to learn a little bit about Angular, Ionic, or Apache Cordova, it's a great little repo to hack around with and get involved in. So I accept pull requests. So that's it for another week of Webhack Wednesdays. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much.